If you believe that acts of hate are increasing, unfortunately, you're correct. Among the largest increases are the acts of anti-Semitism. These actions have been perpetrated as simply as with a can of spray paint and as violently as with a gun. This evil happens in the big cities as well as smaller communities. They all result in the same hurt among not just the Jewish community, but among all people who care about others. Those same people also share the same questions. What can we do? Is there something more that we should have done? My first guest today joins us to spend some time with what we've all recently experienced and what he sees from his special perspective. He is the director of Shabbat of Sussex County and a member of the Rabbinical College of America in Morristown, New Jersey, Rabbi Mendel Duboff. Shalom, Rabbi. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
JewishSussex.com. And Rabbi's site, well, it's really his father's site, but he contributes writings as well as RabbiDuboff.org. And the website for the Rabbinical College of America is rca.edu. As I said, you look at what's been happening both locally and nationally from your, I think, very knowledgeable perspective. How have these tragedies impacted the Jewish community?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, but we are not new to this. You know, historically, I do teach history, and throughout our history, we've been the target of those who hate difference and those who, for whatever reason, are out for the Jewish people. Our response and therefore resolve is similar to that in that respect to how it's been historically, is that of never ever allowing it to win over us, to always know that life, good and good, is stronger than death and evil, and that while going about the necessary measures of doing what we must do to prevent these things, the bedrock of all of it and the beginning of it all has to be the resolve of the victory of light over darkness.
I don't say this as a means of comparing, contrasting, or equating, and you know, certainly every act creates pain for the Jewish community, and I think those who care, as I said in the introduction, care about others. But I just find it so much more challenging to think what life must be for a Jew in Israel, where every day you have to wonder if something is going to be happening.
Well, it's interesting. I've actually had the wonderful occasion of being in Israel this year, and you know, the feeling in United States and other, you know, places outside of Israel is often that due to the fact that our knowledge and our feeling of what goes on in the land is that of the media, and our, you know, media is something which is news, and news means, you know, it's something different than usual. When going about, I spent a good week touring up and down the country, was based in Jerusalem, and there could be a very little comparison to the happiness of life, to the peace, to the tranquility, to the joy in which people go about their daily lives. And I think it's a tremendous evidence of the fact of the ability of seeing through all this and being able to celebrate life, even in view of some of these devastating things that have happened.
Of course, the synagogue massacre in Pittsburgh involved a gun, and I referred to in the introduction how acts of hate and anti-Semitic hatred can be simply done with a few strokes of a keyboard or a can of spray paint, which we saw in Hampton Township in northwest New Jersey. Are those cases where the Nazi symbol, I mean, because certainly we talk a lot about politics here on the show, and on Facebook too, I've bemoaned how the term Nazi has been almost desensitized with its banting around for political purposes and the true horrors and evils that are connected with that name and those four letters have really been subdued in so many ways. Is that part of why almost a cavalier attitude is taken by some to a swastika and they use it as a what they think is maybe almost nothing?
Well, I'm coming from the perspective of the Jewish community.
Sure.
We are averse to name calling. It is something within Judaism that is a most terrible thing. Of we call it in Hebrew motzi shem ra. Motzi shem ra means slander in simple English, of speaking about somebody in terms which they are not. So we are very strong about you must never call somebody a name. It's actually, our sages go insofar as saying that one who calls somebody else a name which they have not earned loses their share in the world to come. That is how severe the sages see that. And so that's definitely something within our value system that we are against, of labeling somebody something that who he isn't. Nevertheless, in a case where we must label, because these are, you know, if somebody does something in line with such philosophy, so then that must be called out. That must be labeled, because if we don't do so, we run the risk of things getting worse. That's really, you know, one has to do this cautiously. But then when one sees it, one has to stamp it out. It cannot be ignored.
Or Rabbi Mendel Dua, who is director of Shabbat of Sussex County, is also a member of the faculty at the Rabbinical College of America in Morristown, New Jersey. JewishSussex.com and RCA.edu, their respective websites. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. It's tragedies like this that bring out two different sides with the same point of focus. One is the atheist who will come out and say, okay, all this happening, where was your God then? And at the same time, those who are of faith have their faith shaken to varying degrees by incidents such as this. What do you say to the faithful first, who are thinking, well, wait, this, from everything I believe, everything I've been taught, everything I've read, this stuff isn't supposed to be happening?
Yeah, we live in such a world where the events that happen in our world are events that we do not understand. I read recently a very interesting story of a great Hasidic rabbi who was called Rabbi Halberstam. He was a rabbi of the Cloisenberg community in Hungary before the war. And he went through all the horrors of the Holocaust and lost a wife and 11 children. Went about afterwards coming first to America, then moving to Israel, remarrying, and having another 7 children. And he was once confronted and asked, you know, how do you do this? He remained to be one of the greatest Jewish sages of post-war. And, you know, he was just asked, how do you maintain your stand, you know, mentally and emotionally and from a standpoint of faith? And he said quite simply, and I think this is a tremendous thing to think about. He said, well, I have two choices. I have one choice of asking for answers, and then the Almighty will call me and will give me the answers. He'll show me what it's all about. I'd rather stay down here, he said, with a question than be up there with the answer. And, you know, that is something which is a very, you know, something which is a principally Jewish idea, that the mechanics of creation are up to the Creator. It's up to us to do what we need to do. There is justice. Ultimately, everything is for a purpose, although that purpose may be entirely incomprehensible to us. But with the advent of science and the knowledge that we have of how tiny and how little we understand just of the physical universe, that can lend us the ability of being humble and to take a step back and to understand that we know altogether very little. And what we know to do is what we must do is to fulfill each of us our purpose in the world. What the answers are to things like this, we don't know. But the idea is that we not necessarily are looking for answers. What the Almighty wants from us is a response, not to answer the question. And the response is something that, you know, we have formulated throughout the ages. And I believe the response, with regard to the individual, is quite simple. It's when we see events like this, we must look to A, eradicate them; B, to bring more goodness and kindness into the world in view of such events.
Always think of back in the day when we used to see telethons on TV, and you always saw these children with whatever the affliction was, that what the cause of the show was, and you wonder, you know, why does that happen to that young child who's never done anything to anyone? But then, as I've been fortunate to have done for 30 years with the Muscular Dystrophy Association, you spend time with these children, and their wisdom and their insight into life in their short time outmeasures, outweighs those who live 40, 50, 60, 80 years sometimes. And you start to think, okay, maybe that this was their purpose, to be teachers, the children to be the teachers for the adults in certain instances, not the other way around, as we arrogantly think so often.
Yeah, that is complemented by a story in the Talmud. There was a very ruthless Roman general who caused much grief to the Jewish people at the time, but happened to be friends with one of the greatest Jewish sages of all time, Rabbi Akiva. And the Talmud relates the story that this individual's name was Turnus Rufus. And Turnus Rufus approached Rabbi Akiva and he asked him, if God is close to the poor, then why doesn't he make them rich? Why doesn't he give them money? And Rabbi Akiva responded to him and he says, the reason why that doesn't happen is to give the merit and the ability for others to do good. Which in a sense is an amazing encapsulation of the fact that those who suffer sometimes, many times, we can identify that as not being anything that they have done. That's not what it is, but it's something that serves a higher purpose, which they are part of. And, you know, why they have to be part of that, again, is out of our ability of comprehension. And however, the idea in it is that we can see them as serving something which is greater, far greater than just themselves.
Rabbi, we're talking with Rabbi Mendel Duboff, who is the director of Chabad of Sussex County. He's also on the faculty of the Rabbinical College of America in Morristown, jewishsussex.com, and rca.edu, the respective websites. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I do want to pause and give recognition to those who were killed at the synagogue in Pittsburgh: Daniel Stein, Joyce Feinberg, Richard Gottfried, Rose Malinger, Jerry Rabinowitz, Cecil Rosenthal, and David Rosenthal, brothers, husband and wife, Bernice and Sylvan Simon, Melvin Wax, and Irving Younger. Their names have not been mentioned enough, I don't believe, and we commemorate their loss and honor their lives and hope for and pray for the ease of pain of their families and loved ones as quickly and as much as possible. But moving forward, Rabbi, what is it that families should be doing right now? Because certainly, with various forms of media, children are exposed to these acts of evil, and no doubt those of Jewish faith, no matter what the age, it impacts them. What should parents be doing for their children right now?
Well, it's interesting. We traditionally in Jewish life, we like to, and I think this is obviously the rule for all people, that we don't immediately introduce children to television or to, you know, the gruesomeness of things that do go on. This must be done with caution, and the caution really lies in the fact that the explanation to children of on the one side that there is evil in the world, but that goodness and kindness and good people are more, better, and stronger, and that they have to understand that and identify with that. And, you know, insofar as teaching children about Jewish suffering, we emphasize all that, and we tell the story through the lens of the victory of the spirit, of the how, in view of even the most horrific suffering, the perpetrators were only able to do something to our bodies, but they were never able to do anything to our soul. And the strength of soul, the victory of spirit that any hater was never able to vanquish, is the lens through which we teach this. That's how we dress it, if you'd like. It's not a dress. It's the truth. It's the way it was. It's the way it was felt by Jews throughout the ages and by Jews today, that we are never to see ourselves as a victim, but rather to know that that there is evil, and that evil needs to be extinguished, evil needs to disappear, and that, you know, ultimately every human being has a soul and is in God's image, and therefore the evil that they do is an additional, maybe it's a could be seen as a sickness, as something which is additional to them. But in their essence, every human being is able to live up to the calling and the purpose for their creation, which is to make this world a good and a godly place.
And certainly, unfortunately, there are more who have wisdom who, when joined together, can indeed, over time, hopefully it'll be sooner versus later, diffuse the evil and ignorance of, fortunately, just the very few. Learn more about the Shabbat of Sussex County, JewishSussex.com, and more information about the Rabbinical College of America, which is located in Morristown, New Jersey, rca.edu. Rabbi Mendel Duval, thank you so much for your insight and your inspiration today. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, and I hope to do this for better and happier occasions in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you again.